Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor and your host. There are many things to talk about, but we have very exciting news from South America. There's been an election and to have a new president, and we're very fortunate to have with us here in Toronto, Alejandro Morales, who is a Chilean-Canadian, also been a labor militant here, and was a very keen observer of all things political developments everywhere, but of course, particularly in his home country, Chile. Alejandro, thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Phil, to give me the opportunity to talk about this that is so important in Latin America. You know, as you know, there've been some events in the past and elections and so on, like the one in Peru and in Bolivia and so on. So this was very important, not only for my country, my former country, but also for the whole of Latin America. And I think it's important in order to people to understand what's going on, it's necessary to make a brief analysis of what was going on in Chile in the last 2 years, besides, obviously, of the pandemic that we don't want to talk about now. The first one was what they used to call in Spanish estallido social, a social explosion that happened in October 2019, where in Santiago only there was, a massive concentration of people, especially young people, women, and people of all ages anyway, but the majority were young, where more than a million people congregated in one of the public, squares in the city. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was an explosion in the sense that people said enough, we have enough, especially with the current president, a conservative, millionaire, multimillionaire, Sebastián Piñera. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting because the meetings, actually the people were not as massive and in that particular day in October, but also there were people congregating here and there in all the cities in big numbers sometimes.
Yeah. Before you go further, let me just, if I can, ask you a couple of things just for the listeners to know this, because this is brand new news, and if they were reading the Toronto Star, they had the impression the Toronto Star of Sunday, the 19th, gave the impression that the gentleman named Cast was likely to take over, and that he was sort of in the mold of the old Pinochet school, and I think listeners at CIUT people, if they saw that story, they're a little bit surprised, because this was a big win for a man, a Gabriel Boric. So were you surprised? And how about the margin? I saw that the margin was, in politics in this part of the world, 55% is a big margin.
Yeah, it's a big margin. 55.87 against 44.13. But anyway, I was going back to Cast. Why it wasn't really, a surprise what you're saying about the Toronto Star. I didn't read the Toronto Star today. Normally I do on Sundays because it brings something from the New York Times as well. But basically what happened is this. In the first round, it was expected that Boric was going to win the first round, but it didn't happen. It happened that Cast, that it was from, Cast is the son of a member of the Nazi party that escaped, with false identification to southern Chile after the Second World War, and had his family there, and Cast is one of his sons, and obviously, Cast supported Pinochet, and The reason I'm not surprised, because he won the first round by only a 2% margin over Gabriel Boric. Initially, Gabriel Boric participated in the primaries, and in the primaries were two candidates, Gabriel Boric from Democratic Revolution, I think is the name, although the group is the White Front, and competed with Daniel Hadwe, a very important politician. He was a mayor of a city in Santiago. And actually, you know, Boric won the primaries, but the Communist Party, Hadwe was a member of the Communist Party, decided that that was the agreement, that whoever was going to win, you know, will receive the support of the other group. And it was actually all the, you know, inquiries about this. People thought that Hadwe could win, but he didn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Boric was representing this coalition, you know, in the first round and lost by 2%. Only 47% of the population, of the people, you know, the electors, you know, participated in this first round. And that was very disappointing for many people, because they expected, you know, that out of...
they thought they would win the first round.
Yeah. So finally, the CP was the strongest supporter besides the group of Boric, that it was a small group, but there is quite a number in the coalition. And so all of a sudden, this person, this cast, Jose Antonio Kast, you know, start gathering strength, you know. Why? Because the right wing actually have their own coalition of three big parties. And they had a gentleman called, his last name was Michel, that used to live in the United States and came to Chile very occasionally. And he was representing the conservative group. And all of a sudden, his what he called Social Republican Party, something like that, it's a strange name anyway, start gathering support based on one thing, as I think I mentioned to you before, law and order. You know, we cannot accept, you know, the level of criminality that is going on in Chile in this moment. But at the same time, he was against women's rights. You know, he was against abortion. And at the same time, against immigration, because Chile has taken some immigration, especially from Venezuela, from Haiti, and Dominican Republic. And obviously, they were people a little bit different from a racial point of view. And it, you know, and then he said he was going, if he was elected president, Kast said, I'm gonna build, you know, a ditch in our borders to impede these people to invade our country. Obviously, opinions about the LGBT as well were really,
described as a star as kind of a Trump-like posture by
absolutely
Mr.
like
Kast.
It happened.
And they seemed, you got the impression they thought they were going to pull this off, that they had found a way to beat the left by talking about abortion.
Those who voted in the first
gender
round,
issues.
Yeah, uh-huh. Those who voted in the first round, we were kind of, you know, negative about this situation. We thought that this cast was gathering too much strength, and that people were voting for him.
Yeah.
And he was probably the favorite of the right wingers, of course, but in general, comments from journalists and people working in this area, they thought that he was going to win this election. He was going to win this election.
If I understand this point, the first round was a little discouraging, largely because the turnout wasn't so great. But the second round, it was a big turnout, right?
It's a big turnout. The first one was only 40% of the electorate that participated. This time, I think, is much bigger. I think it's around 60%. I'm not sure about that, but it is bigger anyway. That's what commentators were saying.
The people apparently were motivated a bit by the attempt at voter suppression, right? That there was an issue of transportation on the day of the vote. Please talk about that.
Absolutely. That was terrible. The right wing was using any possible thing to disrupt the campaign of Gabriel Boric. Because one of the things that people in general, those who work in this area, decided that Boric has been weak in the small towns of the country, okay? And a guy called Parisi that came from the USA had made a sort of an agreement with the evangelical groups that normally, you know, are not in the big cities, but in the small towns. Mm-hmm. So that generated, a new approach. And the people were, doing quite a number of things. This month between the first round and the second round was very intense. People there were working hard, especially in Boric's group. And
but they made public transit not available.
Exactly. The public transportation is not like we have here, the TTC. There are groups of business people who owns the lines. There are different lines and they're owned by different people. Therefore, they're not under a government authority, okay? So these people actually said, okay, the buses are not going out. So immediately there was a response from the Boric people and everybody started phoning whoever had a car or a vehicle, and then certain municipalities within the greater Santiago area, they have some vehicles as well. Uh-huh. And they use them to bring people that do not have cars to go to the centers, to the voting centers. There are many voting centers in a city with 5 million people anyway. So they responded very well, very effectively. And that brought more people because, the difference from 55,
it must have motivated the people to vote. I mean,
the people.
It makes you want to fight, right? That they won't let you get transport.
I've been in touch with some relatives, my former brother-in-law and so on, and was telling me, people are really working on this and are helping to carry people to their voting centers, so make sure they're going to vote. And it worked. It worked. And it worked in the small towns as well. So when I came to vote myself to the Sheraton Hotel across the city of Toronto, and I came home a little bit tired. I was talking to some of the people there at the Sheraton where they're voting this afternoon. And I said, I'm going to have a little nap or something like that. And then around 5 o'clock, which is 7 in Chile, my sister said, Viva Chile! And something else. We won. Ganamos. We won. And I said, she's kidding. So this was through the WhatsApp. So immediately I phoned her and I said, what's going on? Tell me. Are you serious? We won. She said, by more than 10%. We won. And I said, oh my goodness. I start phoning people that I know in Chile and they're active politically. And they say, we won. Everybody was extremely emotional. And the people that I know here in Toronto, many of them are former exiles. So people are my age, they're over 70. Many of them came in the, in the 70s and 80s. But they were incredibly emotional. You know why? Because some of them said to me, we're feeling the same as in September the 4th, 1970, when Salvador Allende won by a very small margin, but he won. So now we won, we have a wider margin in this election, but we won. And we know it's going to be difficult.
And not a slim majority, a real one.
We're talking about this 11% at least.
That's a great phenomenon.
The difference, apparently, what I heard from the Chilean television now, was 1 million votes. So there
That's
is a
phenomenal.
1 million votes difference.
But let's talk about some of the aspects of this, because I have to say, from observer from here, remembering the history, that this is a blow. I don't know if it's a final blow or a heavy blow to the Henry Kissinger, Richard Nixon, Pinochet, Chicago school. I forget his name.
The Chicago Boys.
The Chicago Boys.
Milton Friedman was the.
Milton Friedman. And they not only they knew they were going for what you call a real counter-revolution. They put in Pinochet. And then they began to write laws and change the Constitution. And Constitution right now is on the agenda, right?
The Constitution is in the agenda because the current Constitution, because it's still the same, was written in 1980 during the Pinochet regime. Okay, and it's incredible, you know, backwards. And people, they've been complaining about this. So in March, finally, there was an agreement to elect, you know, representatives to go to a constitutional assembly. And there were different groups. And the left, of course, had their own people and so on. And it was an incredible win. I think they got almost 80% to approve the people who want to really change this constitution.
And let me tell people, this is, of course, Alejandro Morales. He is a Chilean Canadian. He has lived through this whole process. He's a keen analyst. And I have to say, if I understand I was looking at Telesur, they say that Cast, who was cast as a kind of Trump figure, he is acknowledging that the Constitution now will probably be changed.
It is, you know, it's a process
that's phenomenal.
It's a process that may end in mid-2022, you know, and will finish with a referendum to approve it. Because initially, the right-wingers, they wanted the members of parliament to be part of this assembly. And, you know, but since the especially the left, they won the election by a big margin, the right-wingers, they don't even have a 30% to veto any decisions of the constitutional assembly. So
this constitution seems to be so much a core of this. I've been hearing for more than a year about this issue of the constitution. And
it's very important.
And this, by the way, didn't this flow out of a student movement and big demonstrations by labor and others, of which Mr. Boric was a part, right?
Yeah, Boric actually came into politics when he was a student. I think he was a university student. I remind you that he's only 35. He's going to become 36 in February. And he's not married. And so it's a totally atypical new president. But I was listening to his speech before you connected with me, or mm-hmm. we made these efforts to be connected anyway.
Yes.
And I listened to the speech. It was an excellent speech. Excellent. And however, Cast not only phoned him, but he came to talk to him. And the current president, Mr. Piñera, that many people say is the worst government in Chile in many years, also called him. And he wants to meet him tomorrow and give him some advice. And that, when Boric said that, you know, he tried not to be sarcastic and so on. He tried to be, you know, pleasant for the time being. But there's so many issues, like,
Is this constitution, this is one that is basically the concept is a serving the people or progressive constitution, right? Is it already written, or is this something that they're going to write?
They are in the process of writing it. And I remind you one thing, there is this, the number of women is exactly the same as the number of men in the group.
And then there'll be a referendum?
It's going to finish with a referendum to approve it, okay? And now the person who is the president of the assembly is a indigenous person, but not your usual indigenous person. She's a highly educated person. Even she has a degree from one of the universities in the prairies. I don't remember, in Alberta or Saskatchewan, but also in Europe. But she's been attacked by the right wingers. The right wingers are using the same, methods of Mr. Donald Trump, like they have done in Brazil with Bolsonaro.
Yes, like, Bolsonaro. Yes,
like the daughter of this Japanese president in Peru. She was always saying, they're robbing me the election. They're things like that. So I think
what Trump, a nightmare. Like, isn't it fun to think that Kissinger, who thought he was so smart and thought he'd gotten away with it, and all the Chicago boys, they're now in a dump.
Yeah, the neoliberal experiment in Chile started with, they didn't say we're the tigers in the economy of Latin America, we're the jaguars of the economy in Latin America. And what they were doing in terms of pensions, in terms of anything, was actually, praised by, conservatives all over the world. But it failed. It failed terribly. The pension system that was, make believe that it was a response to, it had nothing, I don't understand many of the system in pensions, but our pension is gorgeous compared to what they do in Chile. They retire with sort of very small amount of money. And lately, because of the pandemic, they've been passing certain laws in Congress to withdraw at least 10% of their contribution, because these pensions, actually the employer doesn't make any contributions to the pension of the, it's like your personal account. You have to put the money in there. If for any reason you're sick or something, or you're not working, or a woman is having too many children or something like that, you actually retire with a minimum pension, which is terrible. And the people who administer the pensions are investing the money, not in the country, but in other countries, in Europe and so on. Yeah. So they're trying to make the most, and they want to end that.
Yeah. And well, the last aspect we probably, this is an interesting, it's almost like the cherry on the cake or something, because Nicaragua, Bolivia, Mexico, Peru, Honduras, there's actually a wave coming in, and it's not the one that Los Estados Unidos thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Biden says he's the leader of democracy, but democracy in South America is choosing progressives.
Yeah, yeah. And we have Bolsonaro in Brazil that is not very popular. Never been extremely popular, but...
If they have an honest election, obviously the previous president will come in on a wave as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lula.
Yeah. Well, but I think the Boris is very clear in addressing quite a number of things, like housing, like pensions, public health, and the pension system especially is very important. Also, he addressed the climatic change, but because Chile is supposed in 30 years, they may not have any water because all the the water that comes from the mountains actually is diminishing the, you know, the amounts of water every spring and summer. So yeah. It's a very delicate situation. And yeah. He reminded people that he was going to be working there, because the conservative people that are in power now, they haven't done anything. On the contrary, they're opening certain mines in the mountains that they're going to use the water in there for, you know, for their purposes. Yeah. So he was very clear that he's not going to allow that. Obviously, you may say, well, all the politicians promise a lot of things, but he seems sincere, to be honest with you. He seems sincere. Yeah. We'll see what happened anyway. But people are celebrating. People are very happy.
They
the same
be.
The same that I saw with the triumph of Allende in September 1970. So still there is, you know, Piñera, the current president, has used the police force and in some cases some groups of the army or the navy to repress these manifestations like the one I mentioned in 2019. And they were, you know, the police was firing these plastic or rubber bullets in the eyes of people. There was a number of them, like 10 to 15 people, that they lost an eye, and it was terrible anyway. So the police repression is still on. It's very strong.
Well, that led to the election of Gabriel Boric, and we're going to have to follow this very closely. Exciting times, but with that kind of majority, I think we have to say Viva Chile. It's been a victory.
That's what my sister said, Viva Chile. And I said, okay, let's hope that we're going to say Viva
everybody,
Chile.
Everybody break out their Neruda.
And yes.
We're back on the march. Alejandro Morales, you're a brilliant fellow. We're very grateful that you gave us the time. Thank you.
Well, thank you to you, Phil.
We'll have to follow this now very closely. Thanks again. And this is the Taylor Report, and it is CIUT 89.5 FM. And we'll be back with more later.